So we're going to hopefully start you off with some smart questions this morning. Sure, we got a speech last night from President Obama, but is there a doctrine in the House? I think that's one of the questions.
That's one of the questions, absolutely. How are we getting out? That's another one.
Yeah, endgame. Any clarity on endgame? That's certainly another important one. People in Congress already asking that question. And what are we to make of this interesting sort of herd of international cats that someone has put together to orchestrate a real international consensus on how to deal with Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? We begin with the familiar voice of President Barack Obama speaking last night.
At my direction, America led an effort with our allies at the United Nations Security Council to pass a historic resolution that authorized a no-fly zone to stop the regime's attacks from the air and further authorized all necessary measures to protect the Libyan people.
And we've seen those all necessary measures all week long, and actually all of last week and this week so far. We continue now with the authoritative and very familiar voice of David Sanger, who we should remind you is chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can also hear him every Monday on Washington Report on New York Public Radio's sister station WQXR. He joins us in the wee hours of the morning out in Los Angeles, California. David Sanger, good morning.
Great to be back with you.
So let's just begin with the last question first. What is the chance that President Obama has actually orchestrated this curious international consensus involving the Arab League, the Security Council, the allies who are involved in the coalition attacking Libya, and now this meeting that's taking place in London to investigate a sort of post-Gaddafi Libya?
Well, you know, you asked at the beginning, is there a doctrine in the House? And then you asked whether or not there's an exit strategy in the House. And the answer on the first one is yes, with a big loophole. And the answer on the second one is that's what the meeting in London's about.
Uh-huh.
So let's start with the first. The emerging doctrine you get out of this is that the United States will intervene if, A, there's a big international consensus. B, the international consensus includes the neighbors. And you heard him stress the importance of the Arabs going in on this. And if the United States can play a leading role in the beginning but quickly recede and not put ground troops on that get you into an Iraq. And he made explicit comparisons to Iraq last night. Now, what's the loophole? The loophole is the doctrine doesn't apply if the president determines that it really isn't in our interest. And so what he's saying is every country is different, and even if you have all of these conditions, he might not go in. And that's the excuse for, say, Syria, or if this rebellion spreads to a great ally like Saudi Arabia. There could be lots of conditions under which he says, you know, even though you have all of the ingredients, we're not going to put this in the oven.
All right. So on the one hand, one could analyze the speech last night and all the caveats and loopholes that you've described there as being a little slippery, but one could also say it's a very flexible position. Do you think the president is sort of off the hook if Gaddafi just sort of stays in power indefinitely politically?
I don't think he is, because one of the internal contradictions in the speech was that he said that it was the policy of the United States to get rid of Gaddafi, but it's not the policy of the United Nations mandate to get rid of Gaddafi. That mandate is only to protect the population. So you could imagine a situation in which there's a stalemate, in which Gaddafi can no longer attack his own populace, or at least directly or in ways that we can see, but stays. And then the president's got to live with the question of, did he enter a military mission where American policy was not fulfilled? And his answer to this was, there are lots of ways to get rid of Gaddafi other than simply regime change through military overthrow.
And Mubarak went. Mubarak went without any military intervention.
Mubarak did, but there was a difference. Mubarak's military left him.
Yeah.
Gaddafi so far has not.
All right, so then let's move on to that question of the end game here. If the removal of Gaddafi isn't the end of military involvement, at least, and you're talking about the pressure on, at least in terms of economic pressures and others, sanctions, that could continue for a long time. But let's just talk about the end game in terms of our military. What answers do we get on that?
You know, I think the president's the real politic of this is that Americans don't care about the U.S. intervention as long as the U.S. itself is not taking casualties. And as long as we don't have troops on the ground, those casualties would be fairly low. You saw two pilots have to bail out last weekend, and of course, fortunately, they were rescued. But the theory is that Americans have a lot higher tolerance for military intervention as long as they are not seeing American casualties being taken. And that's really what's going on here, and I suspect that on that the president's probably right.
But then this looks like a shrewd move, because with the Iraq example in the rearview mirror here, Americans aren't going to care if Gaddafi stays in power. It's going to look more like Iran. We've had a stalemate with Iran since the hostage crisis, and, you know, we've had sanctions. The regime in Iran hasn't changed. Americans don't necessarily blame any individual president for that.
Well, they may or may not. And, you know, it's been so many years now that the politics has sort of seeped out of the who lost Iran question, and it's not clear that it was ever America's to win or lose. But in the case of Gaddafi, I think politically, when you're a year out from a presidential campaign, it is significant, because if the Republicans could campaign on the thought that the president declared that Gaddafi must go, it's the policy in the United States that Gaddafi must go, and then didn't make it happen, they're going to make an argument for weakness. Now, I think you're right that most Americans will take the view that this was much more prudent than the way the United States went into Iraq, where, as the president said, we lost 4,000 Americans and had a war that cost, you know, upwards of $1 trillion, and the bill hasn't stopped ringing up yet.
Well, before we go then, David Sanger, you know, I normally am not so pro-Obama here, but it seems to me that if Gaddafi is materially weakened or goes, that he's handed Barack Obama an opportunity to really deliver on a campaign promise, and that was to act multilaterally and, you know, to do things not by ourselves and at great cost.
You know, I think that he can certainly make the case, and started it last night in saying this is the difference between the Obama way to war and the Bush way to war.
So the non-Bush doctrine.
That's it. More
there we go.
The anti-Bush doctrine.
There's the takeaway.
We found it.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Be sure to catch him on WQXR, our sister station at New York Public Radio here in New York, on the Washington Report every Monday. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.